The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's telly time with Jennifer Gannon and Joe Shea, who's in our Cork studio at Republic of Works. Joe, we're going to talk about Christmas television because RT and Virgin Media revealed their Christmas TV schedule highlights this week. But it does strike me that if it hasn't been for the fact that I have my mother-in-law joining us for Christmas each year, that in recent years, that if she hadn't been with us, I'm not sure the television would even have gone on at around 9 or 10 o'clock of an evening on Christmas. It just doesn't feature as a prominent part of Christmas as it would have when I was growing up.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And maybe what families will do is they'll gather around and watch, you know, a favourite movie, a kids' movie or an older, you know, if they're an older crowd, they'll have saved up a couple episodes of The Crown on Netflix or something like that. And they'll watch on streaming services. And it's interesting, you're seeing it reflected in the lineups for both stations, because both stations are very much playing to their strengths and going back to their traditional ratings winners. So RTE are doing a lot of home-produced content. Like Mary Kennedy, for instance, who recently left Nationwide, she's getting a special Mary Kennedy as seen on TV, which sees her, you know, select some of her memorable moments from 40 years in TV. That's definitely going to get
that's a good nostalgia audience. Nostalgia stuff, isn't it? That's
nostalgia
for Christmas
stuff,
Eve.
Yes. Or is it Christmas nostalgia
Day?
Stuff.
Christmas Day or Christmas Eve? Oh, she's doing carols as well from Kilkenny Castle on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve. As is often the case with RT presenters, when they retire, you see more of them on TV than when they were working for them full time. But, you know, no, I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about seeing Mary Kennedy, a lot of Mary Kennedy over the Christmas period on RT. And they will definitely get an audience for those shows. And then you have Virgin are going to play to their strengths with the big shiny floor TV. You know, we have an X Factor special. You've got a Graham
Norton.
Is
anyone interested in an X Factor special anymore?
No.
Yeah, well, you've got to ask that question. You know, again, these are the big legacy broadcasters chasing a core audience and trying to work out what's going to get people in. So Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas special on RTE as well, you know, and also a Christmas special with celebrities talking about, Irish celebrities talking about their Christmas TV memories, which is almost, you know, kind of, in a way, sort of TV eating itself
Jennifer,
at this stage.
Do we really want to see people in the RTE canteen talking about their favourite Christmas TV shows for the last 40 years?
I think what's happened now is that people use the Christmas holiday period to kind of catch up on the shows that they may have missed throughout the year. So the buzzy shows like Watchmen or Succession or Chernobyl or Euphoria, it's time when you can properly concentrate on something like that. And I think it's a time of actual discovery, because if you look at previously, BBC Two repeated the first season of The Office at Christmas time. I mean, I think it was like 6 months or maybe more after it first came out. And then it managed to find its audience, and that became their runaway success story. And the same thing happened with The Thick of It, and it was repeated late night at Christmas time. So it's a good time to watch maybe those comedy shows that have flown under the radar in the year. Like, I definitely would be catching up on Statlet's Flats or Ashlyn B's show This Way Up, or something like The End of the Effing World, which has just finished its second season on Channel 4 and is getting massively rave reviews. So I think that's where audiences will go now, rather than the old school circle and something you want to watch in the festive RT guide. Those days are over.
Joe, I suppose if you are going to get people watching Christmas, live sport is a big thing for a lot of the channels. But of course here, Amazon now are going to have an awful lot of the English Premier League football over Christmas.
They are, and that's a problem for Irish viewers, because during the week there, a lot of people had a lot of problems trying to watch the big matches.
Yeah, there's another channel called Premier Sports, but you had to subscribe to that to actually get it.
Yeah,
an additional subscription on top of what you might already have with Sky Sports or BT Sports and all the various other things where you get sports.
Exactly. It's starting to get a bit crazy now. So, you know, I for one, I really miss the days when you'd have like the big sporting events would be on an easy to find channel, especially over Christmas. It's a great time to be watching soccer, you know, Premier League football. But you're going to need about 14 remote controls, 10 set-top boxes and 14 smart cards to just, or in subscription services, just to find what you want to look at. It's getting a bit crazy.
OK, anything. So you'll also have, at that time of year, you'll also have Pro 14 rugby, Munster and Leinster game, Connacht Ulster. So there will be games like that of Irish interest. Lots of horse racing on. But the other thing, Jennifer, strikes me is, you know, a lot of investment used to be made in the movies that were shown. But again,
they're
most of RT's movies that they're showing are ones that the vast majority of people have probably seen already.
Yeah, that's it. You can get them either on whatever you're using, whatever provider you have for your TV, like Sky or Virgin or whatever, or you're getting them on streaming. So there's not that big a deal where you used to be like, oh, this movie that everybody wants to see is now available 2 years later. It's a bit past its prime at this stage, trying to, you know, gather an audience for that. Except for, as Joe was saying, if it's like a Christmas classic or a kid's, you know, cartoon that's been massive. Other than that, there's no real interest in it.
You know, Joe, yes?
Mark, your card's on one movie that people may have passed people by, but it's on RT this Christmas. I haven't seen it. I really want to see it. Float Like a Butterfly, which is an Irish movie that was widely, widely acclaimed this year and won quite a few awards and showed at a lot of film festivals, about a young Irish traveller girl who wants to learn how to box. And I haven't seen it. I don't know much about the movie, but that's one that I really want to see. And it's an unusual kind of Christmas movie that, you know, I haven't seen on Netflix or anything like that. And I'd really
good.
Like
so
to
that's
see
something
it.
Fresh and something new.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fairness, when we're talking, I don't want this to be seen like we're bashing RT in particular, because let's give all recognition and credit where it's due for the enormous figures who watched last week's Late Late Toy Show and didn't just watch it, Jen, because it was on, watched it because it was genuinely, entertaining
enjoyable
television.
Yeah, and I think really what happened is, I think the way that they approached the show this year was really clever, because it was, the focus was more on the children themselves rather than this orgy of consumerism that I think everybody's a little bit tired of at this stage. I mean, it really moved people, and you had stories from kids who were being bullied, or stories about siblings that were in hospital, or, you know, about their families that are not as traditional as, you know, your supposedly traditional family, and like kids who adored their granny just as much as you adore a celebrity or Katie Taylor. And I think this really struck a nerve with the audience at home. I think this year, especially when we're innately aware of how many people just have so little in this country, that it's much more effective to just communicate with the children themselves and the kids of Ireland and talk about their lives and what, you know, brings them joy. And I think that's why it had such a massive reaction.
What was it like for you, Joe?
I actually, do you know what? I went back and watched it because...
You hadn't watched it live?
You know, I didn't know.
You have a Friday night. You have a social life.
I don't. Friday night is my night that I get out for a couple of pints, right? So I'm going. I make no apology for that.
Yeah, nor should you. Nor should you.
So, but I saw the reaction on social media, and normally, you know, it's sort of like half the people are saying, oh, and half the people are slagging it off. Uniformly, people were just absolutely blown away by the toy show this year. To the point where most of the comments are like, I'm in bits, I'm crying, I can't watch, you know, it's hard to watch, but it's fantastic, or it's great, or isn't this kid wonderful? So I actually went back and watched it, and most of it, and, you know, kudos to those guys, because that was an amazing piece of TV, and the tone was absolutely perfect, just spot on, it was great, great, great. So, you know, like you said, we're not coming on every week and bashing RT just for, you know, for the sake of it, because would they prove, if they can do that with the Late Late Toy Show, okay, it's a big brand and you know, a lot of people are watching, but they got it just right. You know, more of that, please. That's brilliant.
Okay, not everybody was impressed by the Late Late Toy Show, judging by some of the comments we have coming in. One says, the toy show moved adults. It wasn't aimed at kids. My four-year-old asked when the toy show with toys was going to be on. Far too intense. Not being negative, but it's supposed to be fun. Another one says, spare me all this Late Late Toy Show claptrap. Adults staying in to watch a spouting bull like it's part of our cultural heritage. Please bring back a grumpy, pissed off Gavo. We're a great race for blowing smoke up ourselves. And here's another one that says, the Late Late Toy Show was enjoyed by adults, but not so much the kids. My girl was disappointed that not too many toys were shown. That's stories. Don't get me wrong, the stories were lovely, but only toys shown were, as in Ryan's own words, will give 30 seconds fun on Christmas morning. But why not show some good quality, good value, good fun toys, says Brendan. So there's a different point of view in relation to it all. Okay, let's move on. And a toy that I think a lot of adults might get for Christmas is the Peloton bike. Okay, this is
for
maybe a little
grand?
Bit of a jump. Well, apparently a lot of people are into this type of stuff. We discussed this with Ian Guider on Business yesterday, but just we'll actually play a little bit of the audio from the Christmas advert, which has caused the business to lose €1.5 billion in its stock market value as shares have fallen as a result of the backlash over what's been called a sexist Christmas advert. This is the audio. So you can just imagine, though, the woman who's been given this indoor exercise bike on which to cycle.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time riding.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace in Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
Your face, Jennifer. I wish we were on television rather than radio.
The premise is weird. I mean, first of all, this woman is pin thin and she gets a Peloton from her husband, which she seems surprised about, you and me both, girl. Then she films herself on the thing looking absolutely terrified. If you see it, she looks honestly like she's making a tearful plea in a hostage video, like she's chained to a radiator. And then we see her literally punishing herself, getting up at 6 a.m. to use her Peloton, with the underlying thought being, you know, she was initially using it to please her husband and, you know, pressured into keeping her weight in check for some reason. But now she's actually has Stockholm syndrome and she's into this. And in the end, she's made this video to show her progress to her husband, who's sitting on the couch looking really smug at his very, very thin wife. And it doesn't look fun. It doesn't look luxurious. It doesn't show any connection between the couple. The European ad is much better because you see a couple sharing the Peloton, at least the machine, and the online instructor is encouraging both of them. And I think they could have resolved it very easily if the guy had been using the thing as well and wasn't just reserved for his woman. And I just think, you know, in the immortal words of the blessed Joan Rivers, if God had wanted me to exercise, he would have put diamonds on the floor. And that's what I feel about getting a Christmas present of an exercise bike, a glorified fancy exercise bike.
I got one last year.
Oh, but did you ask
Christmas.
For it? Maybe.
It's not a Peloton because I wasn't going to spend that, but I got one of these turbo things that you actually take your back wheel off and you fix your bike into it. And then you mimic pin out and you can actually hook it up and the rest of it and stuff.
I just
and that's what I was told that I was getting for Christmas because I needed to get a bit of weight off.
Oh.
Joe! Aileen's going to love me for saying that one.
Yeah, Jennifer's right. I mean, an exercise bike is a crazy present to give your wife because she can't even go to the shops on it, you know? So,
I mean, you're running serious risks here, Joe.
I know. I don't understand what all the fuss is about this. I mean, definitely, you know, spending $2,500 on, let's face it, what is going to become a clothes rack, like every other exercise machine that is brought into the house, does seem a bit crazy. It's, you know, I'm not one to shout political correctness gone mad, but this really is a case of political correctness gone mad. It's a good, it's a nice little ad, and I think people are reading way too much into it. And for, you know, for them to lose, what, $1.5 billion off their share prices because people didn't like an ad they did, it just shows
you.
Yeah,
but to be honest, the company is massively overvalued to start with on the basis of what it's going to make in profit. So I think there may be other reasons for the share price falling. Listener says cycling is a game of pain, and that's what's addictive about the bike. Joe O'Shea, what
sounds like 50 Shades of Grey. I'm sorry. What are they getting up to on that Peloton, really?
Well, that's an ad that would do well.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your pick of the week, Joe, please?
Well, it's a bit of a niche and maybe a strange one, but I like George Clark. He does the only kind of home improvement shows that I regularly like to watch. I think he's really good, and he has a great show called Amazing.
I'm not familiar with him.
George Clark is a guy on Channel 4, and he kind of does very low key kind of improve your house. So it's really kind of like if you've got an old terraced house, you know, an old Victorian terraced house, he'll help you, you know, do it for $15,000, but he'll do it in a good way. He's a good architect and he actually knows his stuff. And I like it's a very kind of low key kind of, I don't know, shabby chic kind of way, a style of doing up houses.
Are you a DIY person yourself? Do you actually watch these things and get inspired to actually get out your toolbox and start doing things?
I do. I wasn't a DIY person until I went to London and we ended up in a house that needed everything done to it and we didn't have a budget. So I actually became a DIY person. George Clark is a guy I like, and he does actually inspire me. And you would get that's a good point. You get actual tips off this guy that you can use. It's not all about this kind of like room to improve, where they bring in like 40 guys and they spend a fortune and everything turns out white and space age and giant windows and stuff like that. It's real it's real, and that's what I like about it. And George Clark's a good presenter, and he's got a new show on Channel 4, 9 p.m. and returning of Amazing Spaces, and it's a special about Finland. So they're going to look at kind of like quirky, funky, fun, you know, interiors and spaces in Helsinki and Finland, including a caravan on skis. And that's the kind of stuff that appeals to me.
OK, listener says, you don't take the back wheel of your bike off in a turbo trainer. Well, listener, I know what one I have, and I know the back wheel had to come off to fit into the unit that it is. So there you go. Jennifer Gannon, what's your pick of the week?
Different pick of the week. It's a true crime documentary on BBC Two on Monday at 9 p.m. The case of Sally Challen. And in 2010, mother to Sally Challen bludgeoned her husband Richard to death and was arrested at the notorious suicide spot of Beachy Head. And she was unanimously found guilty. But then this year, she had an appeal against her conviction that really gripped the newspapers, because her defence lawyers were saying that she was a victim of her husband's coercive control. So that psychological abuse that she was suffering, they said that she should be in prison for manslaughter instead, not murder. And so this film is from the months before the appeal, just around the time of the appeal. And it has interviews with Sally herself and her family and friends. And a lot of them haven't spoken about the case publicly before. And it has a lot of behind the scenes footage and the legal teams on both sides of the case.
OK, I'm going to be very careful what I say here. But I mean, if a man offered as a defence for killing a woman that he'd been under coercive control, would anyone actually entertain that?
Well, it's a very complex case, and it's the first time really that it's been properly used as a defence, so it will be interesting to see what's surrounded that case. But then again, you have to look at, you know, something like that backpacker issue that we had, where it was basically said in the press, you know, that she was on sex sites and anything like that.
This is a case recently, wasn't it, of a British woman in Australia who was murdered, and the man who was ultimately found guilty and convicted of her murder did try to say in defence that they had engaged in sexual activity for her that she had actually not merely consented to, but had encouraged. Mm-hmm. But the argument was that that was irrelevant to the fact that he had actually murdered her.
Well, not in, you know, that is true, but also that you'd had weeks of press running up before that with lurid headlines saying that, you know, this young girl, and photos splashed everywhere saying she was basically into SLM. And
as if she almost deserved what happened to her, that it was inevitable that it happened to her, which obviously it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's around those kind of cases anyway. So, I mean, it's a good look, I think, at something that will
Where's
be
that on? What time when?
BBC Two, Monday at 9 p.m.
Thank you very much, Jennifer Gannon, and also from our Cork studio at Republic of Works, Joe Shea, for joining us as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.